This is another in our series of Shiurim on Maseches Tamid. It is meant to be just a quick read through the Gemara in order to help people who want to make a Siyum in isolation on Erev Pesach. We are now in the third Perek, and we are specifically on the top of Lamed Amud Beis, 30b. And it's actually an odd spot in the sense that there's one addition. This is all. Sorry, I should back up a step. This parak, the third parak that we're now in, is entirely Mishnah. However, there's a variation between the Mishnah that's printed in a standard set of Mishnayos and the Mishnah that is printed in the Gemara in Maseches Tamid for reasons that I don't know. So here on the second line, those who are using a standard Vilna Shas will see the letter Aleph with a half bracket next to it, pointing you to the Shita Mekubetzes to point out that there's actually a section of the Mishnah that is classically printed here, even though a piece of it is going to appear later on the same page. So I'm going to read it here. I think it reads smoothly that way. This parak has been talking about the preparations for the avoda, for the service of the day, and the lotteries that were done, and so on. And now we're up to the point where they're going to actually go in to the Beis HaMikdash and do the work. So the Aleph tells you the following. If you look at the Aleph in the Shita Mekubetzes, Misha Zacha B'Tamid, the Kohen who had the right to take care of the Karban Tamid, he would bring it to the spot where they're going to do the shechita and processing of it. Those who were going to bring the parts up on the mizbeach, they would go to that place as well. This was on the north side of the mizbeach. Remember, shechita of a carbon ola, of a burnt offering, is going to be on the north side of the Mizbeach. The olav hey amudim. And there you had five pillars. My eyes are not that great. Hey amudim nanasim. Sorry, ches. Time for reading glasses. Ches amudim nanasim. There you had eight small pillars or posts, urvaim shel erez al gabayan, and you had these squares of cedar that were on top of them, v'unkloyos shel barzel hayu kavuin. And you had iron hooks that were in them, the gimel sedarim hayu, and you had three arrangements of them. There's some debate as to whether they were three vertically, so you had top, middle, bottom, or whether they were three horizontally on these squares. But either way, the gimel sedarim hayu b'chol echad ve'echad shebahem tolin u'mafshitin al shulchanos shoshayis. You had these three arrangements of hooks for each one of these posts and their cedar squares. Shebahem tolin u'mafshitin al shulchanos shoshayis, that they would use them to suspend the animal and skin the animal on marble tables. We'll talk about the marble tables later on, but that's the idea. Shebein amudim, these tables are between the posts. Misha zacha b'dishan hamizbeach v'menorah hayu, and now back into our Mishnah. So we go to the second line now on the page with, thank God, larger print. Misha zacha b'dishan mizbeach hapnimi u'b'dishan hamenorah hayu magdimin. So those who were entitled to, those who had won the lottery to be able to take the ash off of the internal mizbeach, the one of the ketares, as well as clean off the menorah, they went in first, v'dalet kelim b'yadam, and they were holding four kelim, four utensils. Hatni, one is a basket of sorts, v'hakur, as well as a v'akuz, a jug, u'shnei maftechos, and two keys. Hatni domala tirkov, the tini was like a tirkov. A tirkov is a vessel that holds three kav. But this one doesn't. It's similar in shape, apparently. Shalzav, it was made of gold. Machzik kabayim b'chetzi, and it held 2.5 kav. It didn't hold 3 kav. Tirkav is a compound of trey ukav. So it would be 3 kav. This isn't 3. This holds 2.5 kav. Okay. V'hakuz, and as far as the kuz, this jug, doma l'kiton gadol shalzav. It was like a big pitcher, also made of gold. Ushtei maftechos, and then the two keys. Echad shu yorid ba'amas hashechi, v'echad shu paseach kevan. So one of the keys, you actually had to stick your arm in all the way up to the armpit, in order to use it, and the other one you would open directly. There's some discussion about exactly why you had this need for the two different keys. If you look in the Rabbeinu Gershom on the inside margin of the page in the Vilna Shas, he says that you had two locks. One was on the inside and one was on the outside. So for the one that's on the outside, meaning the one that you're facing as a Kohen, to open it, you can just open it directly. However, the one that's all the way around on the inside, you actually are reaching around in order to do it. You're reaching all the way through with your whole arm to be able to get to it. There are other explanations as well. If you look in the Kahati, I believe he brings some. Balo lepishpei shatzfoni. So he's carrying these four things, the two jugs and the two keys, comes to the north pishpesh. We've already noted this, but now we'll note it here as well. We're at the Shar HaGadol. We're at the major entrance to the Azara. If you look on the diagrams that I've been pointing to in these recordings, in the standard Vilna Shas, it's on page Mem Amud Aleph, and specifically the diagram marked Yud Zayin. So if you look at the space going into the Heichal, the inner room in the Beis HaMikdash, you see there's something called the Shar HaGadol, the Great Gate. That's where they are right now. And the gates had side entrances next to them. So here, there were two side entrances, one to the north of the main gate and one to the south of the main gate. So, Balu lepishpesh hatzfoni, he would come to the north. One, shnei pishpeshin hayulo l'shar ha-gadol. We're back on our Mishnah again. There were two side entrances for this main gate. Achas betzafon ve'achas bedarom. One north of it, one south of it, as we just said. Shebedarom lo nichnas bo adam me'olam. No one ever entered this other one. The Ba'alav humufurish ha'yidei Yechezkel, and that one is specified via Yechezkel Shnemer, as the Pasuk says, Vayomar Elayin Hashem Hashara hazeh sagur yeyeh lo yipaseach. Hashem said, this entrance shall be closed, it shall never be opened. V'ishal yavovo, no one shall ever enter, ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael bo, Hashem goes through it, v'hayah sagur, and it shall be closed. And the idea here is that you demonstrate Hashem doesn't actually need gates and entrances at all. The one that's marked for Hashem is actually left closed. So he took the key and opened up the other one, the north one. And then he entered into an inner area, a small space, and from that he would go into the Heichal. To the point where he reaches the Shar HaGadol itself. So in other words, he's gone through the Pishpesh around to the other side. He's now inside the Heichal, and now he comes to the Shar HaGadol, to the Great Gate, from the inside. So at that point, he removes the bolt that they had there and the locks on it, and he opened it. The person who's going to shaft the carbon tamid did not do so until he heard that gate open. And now we have a digression. It's going to take us quite a while, this digression. It's all about the city of Yericho. From Yericho, you could hear the sound of that gate opening. Now, Yericho, the Kahati says, is 25 kilometers away from Yerushalayim. That's quite a distance to hear this gate open. But that's not all. From Yericho, they would hear the sound of the magrefa. The Kahati argues that this is a musical instrument that may have been shaped like a magrefa, like a shovel. Now, we have an hour edition, in parentheses, Miricho Hayushomen Kol Hashir, that from Yericho they would hear the sound of the music. And then it continues to say, Miricho Hayushomen Kol Ben Arza Makish Bitzilzal, that from Yericho they could hear the sound of Ben Arza, who was playing some kind of a bell. Miricho Hayushomen Kol HaChalil, from Yericho they could hear the sound of the Chalil, which was, even though we use the term Chalil for a recorder, a flute, makes sense from the word Chalal, to be hollow. Nonetheless, it seems to have been a percussion instrument back in their time. Miricho Ayushomen Kol Gavini Cruz, and from Miricho you could hear the sound of the voice of Gavini Cruz, who woke up the Kohanim in the morning. And Miricho Ayushomen Kol Ha'etz Sha'asa Ben Ketin Muchni L'Kiyor, from Miricho they could also hear the sound of the wood, this pulley that we've described already earlier, that Ben Ketin had made, that they would use to raise the Kiyor, the sink, out of the well in which it had been embedded overnight. Miricho hayu shomen kol hashir, and they could hear the sound of the singing in the Beis Hamikdash from Miricho. Miricho hayu shomen kol hashofar, from Miricho they could hear the sound of the shofar. V'yesh omrim af kol shakoin gadol b'shashu mazgiras Hashem b'yom kippurim. Some say even the sound of the kohen gadol mentioning the name of Hashem on Yom Kippur. Miricho hayu marichin reach pitom akhtares, and from Miricho you could also hear the, you could smell, I should say, sorry, the scent of the akhtares when they made it. If you look in the Shita Mekubetzes in letter Vav, he has a slightly different order of things, but fundamentally he has all of the same pieces, just in a slightly different order. Rabbi Elazar ben Digloi said, "Izim hayu la'aba be'arei ha-michvar." He says, "My father had goats in this area called the cities of the Michvar. Bayu misachos me'reach pitom ha-ketares, and they would actually sneeze from the smell of the ketares. They were able to smell the ketares, and they would actually cause them to sneeze." Kahati quotes a view that this is actually on the other side of the Yarden, which is really remarkable. If not for that last line, I would have suggested that perhaps this whole emphasis on the Yericho business could have been understood somewhat allegorically. I mean, clearly you could try to apply Rava's Guzma statement and say that it's a little bit of an exaggeration to say it's from really far away. Or you could say that it's literal, and maybe all these things really could be heard that far away. Maybe it has to do with acoustics, maybe it has to do with the Kiddusha of it, and it's an ace, it's a miracle. It doesn't sound like it's meant to be a miracle, the way that it's described here in the Mishnah. I just wonder a little bit about the opposition between Yericho and Yerushalayim. Yericho epitomizes for us the state of being Canaan, and Yerushalayim epitomizes for us the state of becoming Eretz Yisrael, right? Yericho has to be destroyed. No one should take anything from it. No one should build it up again. It's the first city we conquer when we enter the land. Achav, who wants to bring the Jews back to being Canaanites and bring the worship of Asherah and Baal and all that, tries to build up Yericho at a tremendous cost. That's sort of the Yericho identity versus Yerushalayim. And so what we're saying is, in Yericho, they could hear and they could smell the avoda that we were doing for Hashem in Yerushalayim. It was overpowering it. Yericho, even, you know, you look at its destruction, there are elements of Ir Hanidachas in its destruction. The city that's devoted for idolatry. There's more to be said about that, but I wonder a little bit about the Yericho-Yerushalayim opposition here. But now we finish our discussion about Yericho, and we resume with the Karban Tamid. Misha Zacha B'Tamid, the one who was going to be able to chef the Karban Tamid, Mashcha V'Holach V'Beis HaMitbachayim, and this is what we read from the Shita Mekubetzes on the top of the page. He would bring it to the Beis HaMitbachayim, this area where they were going to shecht it, the north of the Mizbeach. U'Misha Zachu Be'Evarim Holchim El, the ones who were going to be able to bring the limbs up on the Mizbeach, they went with him. Beis HaMitbachayim Ha'Eletzonu Shal Mizbeach, and again, this butchering area is north of the Mizbeach, Ba'alav Ches Amudim Nanasim, and here the print is larger, so I can read it more clearly. You had 8 short pillars or posts, Urvayim Shal Erez Agabeyan, you had cedar squares on top of them, V'Onkolo Shal Barzel Ha'Yukavuin Bahen, and you had iron hooks on them, V'Gimel Sedarim L'Chol Echad V'Echad, and you had 3 hooks for each one, again, either arranged vertically or horizontally. And on them they would suspend the body of the animal when they would process it and skin it on marble tables between the pillars. Fine. So the one who was going to clean off the inner mizbeach, the one that's used for the ketores, would bring in the tni and put it down, when he would actually scoop up the ashes from the mizbeach hakitaras and put them in it, ubacharona, and then at the end, when he only had a little bit left on it, kibedas shalasocha, so he would just sweep the rest in, v'inicho v'yatza, and then he would leave it. In other words, he's cleaning off everything. He's not like just, you know, scooping up what he can get and then just leaving the rest there. It's swept pretty clean. Misha Zacha B'dishun HaMenorah Nichnas U'matza Beis Neros. There are 2 different editions. I'm going to go with Ma'aravis Dolkin. The one who was going to take care of the menorah would go in and he'd find the 2 western candles, 2 western flames. There are no candles there, it's oil, still burning. Medashenes Hashar, say he would clean out the other five, Umaniachas Eludokin Bimakoman, and he would leave these burning in their place. Mitzan Shekavu, what if they were already out? Medashnan Umalika Menadokin, so he would do a partial dishon, a partial cleaning out, not a full cleaning out. You'll see in the sixth parak, he's going to take care of cleaning the other two. But Umalika Menadokin, and he would light them off of the candles that the flames that were still burning. What if none of them are still burning? Then he'll take a fire from the Mizbach HaOlah, the outer Mizbeach. Ve'achakach medashenes hashar, and then he would get around to cleaning out the other lamps. Ve'eben haisa lifnei ha-menorah ubach gimomalos. There was a stone in front of the menorah. It actually had three steps on it for them to use. Sha'aleh ha-kohen omed umeite besaneros. The kohen would stand on it in order to clean out the lamps. Umaniach es ha-kuz al-malah shniyah v'yatz. And then he would take his jug and he would put it down on the second step and he would leave. Ha-ruach amar lehem ha-mamunah. That concludes the third parak. Let's start the fourth parak. Lo ha-yukobsin es ha-tlet. The carbon tamid itself, when they bound it, they didn't bind it with all of its legs together, elamakidin oso, but rather they would be makidid, like the akeda, meaning hand to, foreleg to rear leg on the right, and foreleg to rear leg on the left, and the Gemara is going to explain why it's done that way. This parak does have Gemara, it's not just Mishnah. Misha zachu be'evarm ochzin bo, the kohanim who were going to be able to bring the limbs up on the mizbeach, so they would hold onto the carbon during the shechita, just as a way to assist. And here's how they did it. Here's how they aligned it. Rosho l'darom upanav l'marav. Remember, you are north of the mizbeach, so the head of the animal is facing south towards the mizbeach upanav l'marav, and it is facing to the west. To the west, meaning towards the Kodesh Kadashim, towards the Heichal and the Kodesh Kadashim. Vashochet, and then the person doing the shechita, Omi b'mizrach, stood east of the animal, upanav l'marav, and he would face west also towards the animal and towards the Kodesh Kadashim. Shoshachar hayanishkad al keren svonis ma'aravis al tabas shnia. So the carbon tamid that's brought in the morning was shechted by the northwest corner of the mizbeach on the second ring, not on the first ring. And the Gemara is going to explain what this is all about. It has to do with aligning it opposite the sun. Shabbeinu Arbayim, the one that's shafted in the afternoon, Hayanish Chalak Heron Mizrach Tzfonis, was on the northeast corner, Al Tabas Shnia, and again, not on the first one, not on the ring that's closest to the Mizbeach, but instead the second one out. Shachar HaShochet B'Kibal HaMekabel. So the Shochet did his job, the person catching the blood did his job. Bolo L'Keren Mizrach Tzfonis, he would come to the northeast corner, V'Nosein Mizrach HaTzafona, and he would put the blood on two sides of that corner, on the east side and on the north side. Marav is Dromis. Then he came to the southwest corner, Venosin Marava Droma, and he would also put it on two sides of the corner, on the west side and on the south side. Shiare Damai Shofachisto Dromis, and then he put out the rest of the dam at the south side of the Mizbeach. That's that's what's appropriate for the rest of the dam from any carbon that's going on the outer Mizbeach. And God willing, with our next recording, we'll pick up on the top of Lamed Aleph.